Continuing. In most cases, therefore, families found themselves completely isolated, without any of the community they had grown up with to support them. Worse than this, they regularly found themselves surrounded by hostile people who actively despised them. Many of the Poles who had recently been deported from Volhynia and other parts of Soviet Ukraine had been relocated in these areas. And my interjection, can we help but see that Bentham's panopticonic set of control techniques, a prison design applied to a global society, is both macro and micro applied, the model by which we are forced to live our lives. Continuing. Having survived the savage civil war in their own homelands, the last people these Poles wanted as neighbors were more Ukrainians. Some of those deported in Operation Vistula speak of being beaten by Poles in the towns where they were rehoused. Others were merely shunned. Almost all found it difficult to find work or make friends. Anti-Ukrainian prejudice was everywhere. Mikolaj Sokaks remembers being arrested and beaten by militiamen who were convinced that he was a member of the UPA. He had no choice but to take it in his stride, for as he explains, Lemkos were beaten a lot. Those who were sent to Jaworzno remember having stones thrown at them and being spat at by local people because they were supposedly the ones responsible for the assassination of General Wierczewski. Teodor Stuchik remembers overhearing a Polish smallholder he worked for claiming, quote, I won't pay those effing Ukrainians. They can work for food, unquote, and so on. Where Ukrainians and Lemkos did come across others like them, opportunities for mutual support or even basic socializing were rare. Official paranoia about the UPA had led to rules banning Ukrainian speakers from gathering in groups of more than a few people. Anyone caught speaking Ukrainian to someone else was automatically suspected of conspiracy. The Orthodox and Uniate churches were also banned, obliging Ukrainians to worship in a foreign tongue, in Catholic churches, or not at all. Since the point of Operation Vistula was to assimilate Ukrainians into the Polish communist state, children were in some ways the main focus of the authorities' attentions. All children were forced to speak Polish at school, and Ukrainian literature was banned. Boys and girls caught speaking Ukrainian were reprimanded and sometimes punished. They were often given compulsory classes in Catholicism, as well as the usual Stalinist communist indoctrination that was part of every child's education. Anything that revealed an alternative identity to the official Polish one was forbidden. And yet, for all this, assimilation was impossible because their classmates often would not let them forget that they were not Polish. Children laughed at their accents, taunted them, and sometimes physically bullied them. Ukrainian, quote unquote, Ukrainian children were not invited to Polish children's houses. Their difference from their classmates and their isolation from any other children like themselves made their situation quite similar to that of the German children in Scandinavia. While there do not yet appear to have been studies into the life chances of these children compared with others, as there have been in Norway, it would be reasonable to assume that they probably suffered similar high rates of anxiety, stress, and depression in later life. Even more than the children of Germans in Norway, today many Ukrainians once again openly speak of themselves as a distinct group in Polish society, something that would have been unthinkable in the early 1950s. The one experience that united all these people, and indeed all of the millions of others who were displaced from their lands after the Second World War, was a desire to return home. This was, however, the one act that was forbidden above all others. Those who tried to return to their villages in Galicia found themselves faced with angry militiamen. And my interjection, thought itself is forbidden by the class system, i.e. by states. States require submission and subjection of the human thought process to authority means the end of it. We can only claim our full earth inheritance by growing beyond the obedience demanded of us by states, which means by growing beyond the falsely conceived need for the state. Until then, we will be endlessly jerked around, violated, disrespected, limited, damaged, our human possibilities mutilated by them. Continuing. Those who tried to return to their villages in Galicia found themselves faced with angry militiamen and were threatened with violence or imprisonment. For others, there was simply no point. In the absence of the communities they had grown up with, their villages were no longer the idealized places they remembered. When Olga Zdanovich tried to visit Graziova many years later, she found nothing there. Quote, the village had been burnt. It didn't exist anymore, unquote.